Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I'm Boomer and Geo coming to you live from Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Talk Tua! What
have we done with this? Stu Gott's in for Boomer today and tomorrow.
All right, so here it is.
All right.
This is my epiphany driving in this morning.
Okay, we'll find out if it's yours or mine in a minute.
So we have talked about many times, and it has come up a lot the last couple of weeks, about the New York Giants. The situation that they are in right now is because they had unexpected success and has hurt the team in the future and what they were trying to do.
Right.
So when Brian Daboll and Joe Shane they came in, it was their first year, and you had Daniel Jones basically playing with a guillotine over his head. He played well enough. It wasn't the greatest regular season in the world. They get into the playoffs. They get a break playing one of the worst defenses in the league in the Minnesota Vikings. They beat them. They go up to Philadelphia. They get trounced there, but Brian Daboll, coach of the year. Everything is amazing. And Daniel Jones gets $40 million, and now the team has sucked ever since because they needed to rebuild, and now they're rebuilding while paying a guy who shouldn't be getting $40 million, $40 million. All right.
They suck for a year.
So,
since they won that playoff game.
All right. Okay. And this team is also, I mean, their over-under total is 6.5.
I got it.
They're not looked at as and say what you want about Pro Football Focus, if you're a believer or not, they have them ranked as the 30th best roster in the NFL. Actually, 31st out of 32 teams in the NFL. So, not in a great spot. Right. Should have started their rebuild earlier. And they weren't even bad enough to be in the top three of the draft where they could have gotten one of these quarterbacks and started over.
I respect the fine people at Pro Football Focus. I don't care. Telling me who the 30th best team is on paper? I don't care.
All right.
Go play the games.
The point is that they're not looked at favorably from a roster building standpoint.
Okay.
All right. So, I bring you to this year.
Yep.
First year of Carlos Mendoza. Oh, he's doing a great job. It's amazing. David Stern's first year. Joe Shane first year.
Sterny.
There's a star you have to make a decision on, or a player at least, a very good player you got to make the decision on, and Pete Alonso. And these guys were brought in, especially David Stearns, to rebuild this team, to tear it down and build it back up. And what do you have now? You've got them playing better than you expected. So are we watching a repeat of what happened to the Giants, where unexpected success delays the rebuild to the point where it ends up hurting the organization going forward? Is that what we're witnessing?
Well, you can't do it. First off, you're great at what you do. But when you have an epiphany, you can't ask a question. You just need to say this is what's happening.
No, because I can't.
You're looking for validation.
No, stop, because I'll stop you right now.
You're looking for validation from me, Al, and Eddie.
Stop. Because the reason I framed it in that way, because I'm a step ahead of you,
okay,
always, not that hard to be.
No.
Is because when I say, are we seeing this?
Yes.
If I had made a definitive statement with this is what we're seeing,
right,
you would have said, how could you say that? It's baseball, all these games left, 59 games from all the stuff that you've been saying the last 2 days. So I thought of framing it in the way of going, this is what we're seeing.
Yes.
But you would have countered with,
yeah,
how can you say that? We don't even know. We got 62 games left. Baseball's weird and you could do anything. And then the conversation would have died. So that's why I framed it in that way.
That's a good job out of you. Essentially, what you're saying is you don't need me to have a conversation with me.
Yes.
Which, that's great. I'll go back to bed.
Right.
I don't care. Are we seeing that? It's funny. It's interesting that you bring this up because the Mets are just good enough where maybe they have to bring some of these guys back. And not only that, this is more important. They have become likable. They are lovable. Met fans have fallen in love with this particular team. And so guys that perhaps they thought at one point, hey, he's gone. Met fans now love those guys.
Yeah.
Especially if this continues. So it's going to be interesting to see if this Met team, which we don't really know if they're any good or not, but they're having a good season. Why? Because of baseball. If it's good enough where the Mets have to bring a lot of these guys back. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, right. So I feel like that's where we could be. Now, it's different because the quarterback means so much more to a team than anybody on a baseball team does, a single individual.
Of course, yes.
And the Daniel Jones thing isn't apples to apples with Pete Alonso. But
he was just good enough where they had to re-sign him, and now he's making $47 million.
Oh, yes. I mean, so I truly believe, and this is not a, you know, because I've talked about many times, I don't have David Stern's cell phone number. I'm not talking to Steve Cohen in a back alley. But this is what I believe based on an educated guess.
Right.
Is that both Joe Shane and David Stearns took these jobs thinking one thing about those players, meaning that Joe Shane, when he took over the New York Giants general manager job, they weren't keeping Daniel Jones. There was no way they thought ahead that they were going to do it. They didn't give him the fifth-year option. They gave him 1 year. They're thinking, gone. See you later. We'll get our own guy in there. And then they got painted into a corner. I think the same thing happened with David Stearns when he came here and said, why am I going to pay Pete Alonso? I don't care what he means to the Mets' history as far as a homegrown player and the numbers that he's put up, because the Mets don't have a lot of those guys.
Yep.
Why am I going to pay this guy who's into his 30s all this money because Scott Boras is his agent now, and he's sort of a bit of a goofball. Nobody even looks at him as a leader. Like, we need to move on from that guy and allocate our funds in different ways, and now this team is doing what it's doing. And they're going to be like, I can't let Pete Alonso go somewhere else.
Right, Alonso's a guy where fans get mad. He cares more about the home run derby than he does the actual season. So people get upset with that. But you're right. But how far do the Mets have to go for this to kind of play out? Like, what kind of season? How does it have to end?
Well, okay, so similarly, I think, to what the Giants, at minimum, what the Giants did, which is, you know,
they won a playoff game. So win a series, you're saying.
Win a playoff series.
Okay. With a playoff series, you have some tough decisions to make. And I will tell you this. I am friends with Joe Shane. We brought him on the show last year when I was in doing it with you. I have not had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing him the way I know him, there is no way he thought Daniel Jones would still be his quarterback years in.
Of course.
And what proof do you need? All the footage from the draft in the war room.
Yeah. I mean,
they were looking to get a quarterback. He wanted a quarterback.
But they weren't going to trade away a ridiculous amount. If they were in the top three,
right,
or someone gave them a deal. I mean, even the deal that he pitched to Elliott Wolf of the Patriots, which was, you know, swapping six this year, next year's first, and then like a third this year as well. He was ready to do that.
Yes.
To get up and draft a quarterback and then eventually replace Daniel Jones. So that's what's going on here. I don't think that the Mets and their fans necessarily need to care about that right now as much as David Stearns needs to care about that
Mets
right now.
Mets fans need to enjoy the ride, man.
And they should. And they absolutely should. But I mean, it's interesting when you go into a season thinking one thing, and then you get shocked when you're about to come in and rebuild an organization, and you're like, wow, those decisions get tougher and tougher. I mean, Jeff McNeil was as good as gone.
Yeah.
When David Stearns came in here in the first half.
Not anymore.
Now this guy, I mean, it's unbelievable the way he's turned it around. Now he's got to keep that going.
They might retire his jersey.
Right. But he's got to keep it going.
Yeah.
And Pete Alonso's another one. So, I mean, it'll be fascinating to see what David Stearns does, and also the fact that he's a Mets fan. He grew up a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
So does that play into his mind a little bit? Because it's easier to
because he's falling in love with this team the same way the fans are falling in love with this team.
You
because
would imagine,
he did not expect this team to do what they're doing.
Unless he's some sort of cold-blooded reptilian. You know what I'm saying?
Like, so Alonzo's hitting home runs, and he's up in his skybox, and he, damn.
Right, like
enough.
Right, like Major League.
Can we stop winning?
Yeah, right, like Major League. They're gonna put a cardboard cutout in the locker room with stars on his nipples.
I love the fact that we have him actively rooting against the team that he's in charge of.
No, it is funny. I don't truly believe that. But yeah.
I do actually. I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it harder for him, and then. You know, publicly, if he still makes those tough decisions after the Mets have success, it's going to be tough, man. And then you got to sit through that bad PR as well,
right?
I mean, so it's fun. I do believe that the rest of the season is going to be really interesting for the Mets. But David Stearns is probably thinking, man, like I he had to rip up Plan A.
The worst thing for a guy with a plan is a lovable underdog.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing in sports. You come in with your plan. You want to put your stamp on the team. The team that you have is not very good. You don't think they're going to be very good. And all of a sudden, they exceed expectations. You're right. You rip up the plans. Because New York is falling in love with this team. Now, if they don't make the playoffs, then he can do whatever he wants. They make the playoffs. They win a series, as you pointed out. I don't see how he doesn't bring these guys back. Guys that he doesn't want to bring back, by the way.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be amazing. Difficult.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a couple calls in at 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Matt, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Just a quick question. First, before I make my point, I want to make sure, Stu, do you know who Robert Salah is? I know you're a big box score guy. Do we know who Robert Salah is?
Let me think about it. Jets coach?
Okay. All right. Good. One for one. So I just wanted to ask, as far as like post-game press conferences and just overall talking to the media, who do you guys think is worse? Is it Aaron Boone or is it Robert Salah?
Man, that is a great question.
It's a good question.
You know, wow. You know, they're both really bad for different reasons.
Aaron Boone was a part of the press. You'd think he'd be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say Salah because of the Joe Beningo text thing. Because that's also.
You can't do that, right?
Right. That's also talking to the media. Like, he has created controversies by screwing up these press conferences, like legit talking points. By messing these up, as opposed to Aaron Boone, people just get angry with him. And they say, you know, you got to be more pissed off. And, you know, he can't get through a sentence, Aaron Boone, which doesn't sound great without stuttering or coughing or whatever.
Right.
But Rob Saleh has created negative headlines based on how he can't handle the media. And he just did it again this offseason with the whole Aaron Rodgers skipping minicamp thing. I mean, he knew that had happened for months, and he went in there trying to act like he was in charge and Aaron Rodgers wasn't in charge and made a story out of nothing.
It's a tricky spot for Salah because even if he's good in those situations, everyone knows he's not running that team. It's just a difficult spot for him right now.
Yeah.
It's a spot that he put himself in because they wanted Aaron Rodgers so badly, but he steps to the point. I don't even listen because whatever he says, Aaron's going to do what Aaron wants to do. And if Salah wants to do something and Rodgers wants to do something different, then Aaron Rodgers is winning out in that conversation. Aaron Rodgers is coaching that football team. It's not Robert Salah.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
And
so it's just hard to buy anything that's coming out of Salah's mouth.
Yeah, well, it's also hard to buy, you know, with Aaron Boone, you got Brian Cash. We used to joke that he had a speaker, you know, a little headphone on in his ear, a bug that Brian Cash was telling him what to say. And that's why it took him so long to spit certain sentences out. But the answer, it's a tough one. They're both horrendous at it. But the answer is Rob Saleh. He's worse. He's definitely worse.
Yeah, he's worse.
Chris in Hoboken. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, Gio, I would love for you to do a Mad Dog impersonation with Stu Goss' top five things that he loves about New York City and top five things that he hates about New York City.
Ooh.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's first get those things, and then I'll decide if I feel like rattling them off.
It's the top five things I love about New York City, top five things I hate about New York City. You're going to do it at Christopher Mandel.
No, I don't know if we're going to do the voice.
Well,
I kind of want to hear it first.
We're a piano bar.
Yeah, I know. We're a piano bar. Give me three. Give me three things that you like, three things that you hate.
All right.
Now.
You want them now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You couldn't do that now? I could do it right now.
The three things that I hate.
Maybe Sal is right. You're not good enough to be here. I mean, geez.
No, I was only good enough to be his boss, as I pointed out 2 days ago. I mean.
All right, let's go. Let's hear it.
Top three things I like about New York City. Number three, WFAN.
Okay.
How about that?
It's a good one.
See, yeah, but he wants you to say it as Christopher Mandel.
I'm not going to do that. See, I don't like taking requests.
Number two, the amount of cannabis dispensaries on every single block.
Good.
How about that?
Another good one.
Number one, pizza.
All right. Yeah. Great. Great.
Top three things I hate about New York. 35 minutes to get one block the other day.
Mm.
Can't stand it. Number two, faces and phones, people smoking weed, not looking where they're going. Listen, can we start walking with our heads up?
Yep.
Can we start doing that?
Very good.
Especially here on the Lower West Side.
Gotcha.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing that I hate about New York City, the Holland Tunnel.
Okay.
Okay?
Fair.
That's it.
All right, very good.
Those are my things.
I thought you were going to say... When you said WFAN number three on the things that you hate, I thought you were going to say WFAN number three on that. That would have been funny.
I mean, you could have done the list for me. He wanted my list. You don't need me to have conversations with me. We've established that already.
Right, right, absolutely.
And he wanted you to do these in Mad Dog's voice.
Can I hear
the Holland Tunnel, by the way?
No.
Give me Christopher Mad Dog saying the Holland Tunnel.
No. Can't do it. Can't.
Why?
Now, if it comes up naturally, I'll do it. But I can't. This is not, you know. I'm that jerk DJ at the wedding.
It says,
listen, you hired me to do this. Let me do it. Don't tell me how to do it.
Put a glass bowl out. I'll put $5 in it, and then you do it, okay?
Oof, man.
Come on.
$5?
I'll give you 20.
That's it?
I'll give you 50.
what the hell was I going to say? Do you have a car here?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I was. We still don't know if we're playing golf today because of your stomach.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to have to drive you.
You're not driving.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, because that would have been a problem.
Feelings mutual.
Well, it just would have been weird.
And you found free street parking, I'm sure?
I did not. No. Parking garage.
It's been there for four days.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Levitard's paying for it, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, is he?
Well, you're not.
Well, I know we're not. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't personally, nor would the company.
It's been sitting there. I got it Monday.
Oh,
so it's been sitting on the Lower West Side for 3 or 4 days now.
All right, that's over under $1,200. What do you think? Over or under $1,200?
$1,200.
Yeah, yeah.
If I show up there,
yeah,
and the guy tells me, "Hey, $1,200," I'm telling you right now, I'm walking out. I'm leaving the car there.
I'm not paying
$1,200 for parking.
It could be at least that.
Yeah,
$1,200.
And by the way, you got a tip.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is Lower Manhattan.
I don't tip anyone on $1,200 for my car being parked for 4 days.
It's like $66 an hour at the garage that I'm in.
Really?
Yeah. I remember there was one guy who was just flabbergasted by it. He was here an hour. It's like, well, that's what it is.
Right.
At this time of day.
I will tell you, I just kind of flipped in the keys. We had no conversation. I didn't establish anything. This guy.
Well, good luck.
Oh, my God.
Good luck.
Let me do some math here. So you're saying 66.
Well, I don't think it'll be 66 an hour. You get a different overnight rate. But it'll probably be at least $175 a day before tax. At least.
But I got the ticket stamped by the hotel I'm staying in. You think that helps at all or...
Oh. A
couple of bucks off or the first hotel I was staying at.
You might get,
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's where they told me to park. They told me to park there.
Okay, so maybe.
They said I get a discount.
Okay, all right, so you get a discount.
Is it the same garage we used there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. No.
All right, yeah, I mean, you might get a little bit of a break, but it'll be over. It'll be like $750 then, probably. Huh.
So I'm not getting the car. You are driving. Okay?
Are you just going to leave it there forever?
Yep.
Just rack up a bill?
Yeah. Are you out of your mind?
Is it a rental car?
Yeah, it's a Ford Expedition.
All right. Nice. Yeah. So maybe you drive me then.
I'd be happy to drive you.
No, you pay the bill, though.
No.
Yeah, never mind.
50-50 on the car once we get to the parking lot? I'll drive you. I'll drive you home afterwards.
Nope.
Sleepover tonight?
No. Okay. Not with you and the innards and whatever the hell's going on with your stomach right now. You're not coming into my home.
Something bad. I'm telling you, I almost crapped myself in the air yesterday.
That would have been something.
I would have told you guys if I did it.
Well, you'd have to.
Of course.
You'd have to. What would you do? Can't be walking around with crap in your pants and not telling people.
It's been done, I think.
Not for an entire show inside a studio.
No, I would have told you guys.
All right.
I would have said I crapped myself. Hey, you guys smell that?
It was funny because you were quiet there for a while, and I was like, I wonder what's going on.
I was hurting. No.
Yeah, no, I really was thinking that. And when you got up and you're like, I got to go to the bathroom.
Gee, you know that feeling? Everyone knows this feeling. The sweat that was coming through the sweatshirt that I was wearing yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Gio was right, for a good hour. He knows, like, hey, he could leave it here and I'll fill a minute or two, or I'll do whatever he needs. But there was a good hour yesterday where I wasn't here.
No, you were not.
Where I was in a bathroom stall.
Yep. Mentally and physically.
Yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stu Gotts in again this morning. I saw it was the one-year anniversary of our midday and afternoon shows, and they like to celebrate these things.
Finally got Tiki a Fudgy the Whale cake.
And that's nice. What I was going to bring up.
Sorry. Yeah. Greatest cake ever.
Yeah, he never had a Fudgy the Whale from Carvel, and he had a Fudgy the Whale.
Didn't even know what it was.
That seems impossible.
I grew up in Virginia.
Right.
Very healthy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why it happened. You know, I mean, you grow up around here, and you're one of us non-athletic sort of fat guys.
You have one a week, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. You celebrate with Fudgy the Whale at least 6 or 7, maybe 10 times a year. it was good to see. It was good to see them enjoying that, and then they had all the Met Yankee stuff as well, as they are split on that particular program, Evan and Tiki.
If I may, I don't know when they opened, but I did do a quick search. There are not one, but two Carvel locations in Southern Virginia, where I believe Tiki hails from. So I'm just saying.
I mean, just but two locations, that's it?
Guys, regardless,
only three in the state, two
he's been in New York for, you know, a quarter century now.
That's the better argument, yes.
I agree. There's a Carvel every other block.
Trying to help him out, that's all.
Right.
I mean,
it's a good teammate.
I mean, Tiki does a lot of stuff we don't do. Right. We eat Fudgy the Whale. He runs marathons. So it's hard to get on him, you know?
Runs 7 miles a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would figure quarter century in New York City, I have no idea actually how long it is, that you would stumble into a Fudgy the Whale, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
You would you take your kid to a birthday party and yeah. Fudgy the Whale, you know?
Right, like none of us have done crack, but we know what it is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sort of that thing.
But we haven't stumbled into crack.
Right. We have. Not yet. No. Not yet. You're here for a couple more days. You may stumble into some crack.
Quarter century, pretty close. Drafted in 97, coming up on 30 years.
I mean.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Long time.
Time flies.
All right, CeeLo, what do we got over there?
Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, the Yankees certainly couldn't beat the Mets here in 2024, even with Gerrit Cole on the mound last night.
And the first pitch to Lindor. Swing and a drive. Deep to right. Down the line. There she goes. Home run. Francisco Lindor.
Oh, my God.
Into the second deck in right field. A scorcher. A no-doubter, his 20th home run of the year.
That's Howie Rose on WCBS 880, one of three home runs allowed by Gerrit Cole, and Lindor added a second off the Yankees' bullpen during a six-run eighth-inning rally. The Mets clobbered the Yanks 12-3 to complete the series and season sweep of the Yanks. First time they've done that since 2013, so everything was working for them last night, even the mid-game on-field interview with Jose Iglesias visiting with Carl Ravage, David Cohn, and Eduardo Perez on the ESPN broadcast. Podcast with DJ LeMahieu at the plate.
LeMahieu hard on the ground. Nice play to Vientos. Iglesias. Oh, what a play.
Look at Swaggy V. He's feeling it. How are you, baby?
Oye, caballo.
Oye, lo quiero. Thank you, guys. I love you.
Cántame ahí.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echalo pa allá. Love you guys.
Who's living better than Iglesias?
Yeah, I know.
Right? Nobody.
It's unbelievable.
Have you actually heard that song, Al? If you could get the Oh My God up for Stu Gatz. I've said this before. This is the best song I have ever heard an athlete do. And there's been a lot of them.
A lot of bad ones.
A lot of bad ones. This is
more bad than good. Yeah.
Yeah, this is legitimately Jose Iglesias and his song that he recorded in the studio, Oh My God.
Oh My God.
Oh My God.
God.
I mean, how good is this? So good.
Oh, I love it.
So good. He doesn't care.
Locked in.
No, I do care. No, yeah. I care. I like it. It's good. What do you want me to say? It's the greatest song that anybody's ever heard. I mean.
All right. Very good.
Oh, my God!
No, nobody's having it better than him right now. Yeah. What does he call himself again, the musical artist?
Candelita.
That's right, Candelita.
By the way, I heard you the other day talking about chord progression like you're Jeff Beck.
I know how to play.
What was happening?
All I said was a similar chord progression. I went to school for music for 3 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was going to be a music teacher.
I had no idea. Were you?
Yeah.
Dude was just jamming with Jordan Davis over the weekend.
Well, I sent him the video and still he wasn't impressed. Right. Unless he watched it. I don't know if he didn't even watch it.
Considering at one point in your life.
I wasn't considering. I was doing it. I went 3 years for a music education degree. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You feel like that was a waste of time now, or what do you think?
No, because I don't think, if I didn't have that miserable experience, I wouldn't have tried to chase what I wanted to do.
Okay, good.
So it was not a waste of time.
All right. But I had no idea you were Jeff Beck or, you know, Eric Clapton. I mean.
Well, not quite.
Hey, you just got to go from here to here to here to get to that sound. They all sound the same. Yeah. Everyone's stealing from each other.
Well, it does. I mean, I stand by it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I had no idea.
I know it's tough for you to understand people who have talent. So if you have any other questions,
you
can just ask me and then, you know, I'll be able to break it down for you.
That is totally fair. Yes, it's just talent that I'm not certain you actually have. That's all.
Oh, I sent you all. I sent you the video.
Wow.
You did, but, you know, I mean, there's also a guy standing next to you. He might be telling you what chord to play.
Musical
professor or something like that.
No, he's only the guy that won the CMA back-to-back years for Song of the Year. He's only that. See, I mean, you get high, go to shows. I perform at shows.
You do.
Like I did at Boomer and Geo Live when I played a Jimi Hendrix song.
Did you really? He did. Yeah. It was excellent.
Listen, don't take this the wrong way. I mean...
No, I am.
But why?
Because...
You're more talented than I thought you were.
You're poo-pooing the talent.
I'm not trying to poo-poo. I'm shocked by the talent.
You're poo-pooing it.
You questioned the talent.
I did question the talent. But now he is giving his reason for said talent. Right, musical, went to school.
Here you go. Look at this. This was just in May.
You're doing regular John Mayer. It makes...
No, I'm not saying I'm that good. I just...
I'm trying to compliment you. You're not taking it.
I'm not saying I'm John Mayer, Jeff Beck, or Eric Clapton. And I can play a little bit.
So you would agree, though, for someone that has no idea about your past, your musical past, and where you wanted to go or where you were headed in life, that would be jarring to me, right? No, not really.
No, you just go, okay, as opposed to, no, I don't believe you can do it.
Play the band.
You just be like, okay, that's something I learned about you.
It's like
you learned about David Stearns being the VP of baseball operations. Is that shocking to you?
Sterny. I have given my opinion over 20 years on so many things I am not qualified to give my opinion on. I figured that's what you were doing.
No.
That's all. Like, I figured all of a sudden you became, like, you know, music expert guy.
No, that's not what happened.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I don't accept it.
And it wasn't sincere. So.
It's not sincere, and I don't accept it. Well. Yes. See, that's just AI me playing the guitar with this band that let me grab it. That's just AI. That's all that is with my America hat on.
I am super impressed, man. You have never been more attractive to me than you are right now.
How about that? Eli in Waterbury. What's going on, Eli?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to give a shout out to my boys who every time I call, you know, they all text me. But hey, I got a few things to talk about. I just wanted to say, since Iglesias' arrival and just everything that comes with him, I mean, he brought the Mets closer. You know, the camaraderie between the players is unbelievable. You know, it brought him closer. And, I mean, the guy's hitting his lights out. I mean, the Mets, without Iglesias, we wouldn't have the season that we're having because Alonso was down. Lindor was down for the first half of the season. He was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean, Eli, it's a good point. And the great thing about what's going on with the Mets is he's not the only one. I mean, there is... For teams to turn it around and be good and have these special seasons, you need to have multiple guys you don't expect to play well, playing well, and playing well at the same time. And that's what they have. I mean, from Tyrone Taylor to Jose Iglesias. I mean, David Stearns, if you want to say one thing that he's done with this year's team is identified guys and brought them in that have contributed. So, I mean, that hopefully continues. But, I mean, they've the bottom of the lineup right now for them is surprisingly productive.
It's doing what the Yankees lineup is not.
It's the exact opposite. Yeah. Exact opposite.
When we look at this Mets season, like on the calendar, and I say, when did they turn it around? What's been the line of demarcation?
That stupid team meeting, right?
But I'm saying like on the calendar.
On the calendar.
End of May, right?
Yeah, basically.
Since the start of June.
Right.
Iglesias' first game of the year with the Mets, May 31st.
Wow. Mm.
So they are. But when did Alvarez come back?
After that. But that certainly, like Gio said, there's a number of factors. I'm not trying to say it's all with Iglesias.
Him, he gave him a jolt. He did.
But with him, they're plus 17. Without him, they're minus 12.
Yeah, well, he's definitely a difference maker. But I'm just to that caller's point. I'm not saying it's all Iglesias, but since his arrival.
Yeah, but there's also a, Eli said, a camaraderie standpoint, too.
Yeah, with the meeting, J.D. Martinez.
But there is.
Iglesias.
That's what happens with teams like this. The lovable little underdog at $300-plus million.
Well, most of the guys they're paying aren't on the team anymore, which is crazy.
Yes.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've been riding it for a while now, all the way to their high watermark, 5 games over .500. They're into the second and a wild card spot ahead of a 4-game home series with the Braves, which begins tonight. Luis Severino and Chris Sale, first pitch 7:10 over on WCBS 880. On the other side, Yankees continue to leak oil. Gerrit Cole continues to come up small against the Mets. Career ERA facing them is nearly 7 now, and he obviously didn't get the job done in a big spot last night.
I mean, I'm frustrated. I mean, frustrated sitting in, the emotions of this loss.
Another guy Gio loves to hear from. Yeah, the voice and the mannerisms.
Especially when he's upset. Like, it's hard to take him seriously
right.
when he's upset.
He sounds like Kermit.
Yeah, I mean, not like worse.
Yeah, I guess.
Like you know, Kermit's loser friend who, like, didn't make it. Who got dumped by Miss Piggy's best friend. You know, it's like it's a weird voice.
Well, he says they got to move on quickly.
Our job is to flush it and not let, you know, the play of the last 6 weeks, you know, affect the way we prepare for the next game.
Which will be tomorrow night at Fenway Park against the Red Sox, who come home off a 20-7 road loss to the Rockies. I mentioned last hour they had a bench clearing incident in that game as tempers flare. Gio, did you see the details of any of what went on?
Yes, I did with Reese McGuire. Yeah. And so I saw somebody tweet about it, and I'm like, man, like, that is a very specific insult, because I did not remember the story.
Nor did I.
Of Reese McGuire, who got caught. Al put it perfectly, a great way to not get put the...
By himself?
Yeah, caught...
You know, having some fun in the parking lot or something like that?
Caught doing something with himself in the parking lot. And yes, that was yelled back at him.
Cal Quantrill coming off the mound. It's 8-2. He gets out of a jam.
Right.
Reese McGuire's on first base, and I guess didn't like that Quantrill was a little fired up.
Yeah.
So he quickly went back with the you blanked off in a blanking parking lot, you dumb blank.
Yeah. Which is great.
And then it just incited from there.
Right. These are adults.
Yeah.
I mean, what an insult to keep in your back pocket, man.
And had it ready. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
He
yeah.
comes at him and he just goes right back at him. And if you see the video, it's a clear lip read. Like, you don't need John Boy to break that one down.
Right. I mean, it just shows you that if you're Reese McGuire, you're like, man, everybody talks about this. Like, if that's, like, recall, like, that happens that quick, that means that everybody has talked about that and they know me as that guy in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's odd, wouldn't you agree?
Of course it's odd.
Not everyone's doing that in the parking lot, right?
But I had forgotten. But
in that environment, in the environment of sports, in any locker room, don't you think guys are going to use that against them? Of course, right?
It's true.
Right. I went back to the TMZ story, which had some of the details from the police reporter. It is pretty funny. And this was like spring training, like a month before COVID arrived.
Oh, really?
I think it was like February of 2020.
All right, so that's why it got lost in the mix.
Yeah.
So what are some of the details?
Let's see. What can I actually say on the air here? Cops say a witness told them he was with the Blue Jays at the time, had been in his parked car before they arrived on the scene. Cops said they rolled up to the parking lot. They saw McGuire with his shirt, quote, barely covering his genitals and his sweatpants around his ankles. They claim in the report when they got McGuire out of his car, he, quote, had a...
Got it.
Starts with an E word.
Yeah, you got it.
Very apparent. So I'm thinking of like Ron Burgundy. Mr. Burgundy, you have a massive.
Yep.
It's the pleats.
Yep.
It's a massive package.
Yeah, it'd be shocking if you didn't have that.
Yeah. Taking them back to the pants store. Not flattering in the crotchetal region. Anyway, let's go Aaron Rodgers, shall we?
Yeah.
On
go
his
ahead.
Minicamp absence. Robert Saleh, of course, laying down the law publicly and privately. Rodgers addressing all of that. His first chance to speak with the media with training camp underway.
Did you get fined?
Yeah.
Do you think Robert needed to keep out the 50 mandatory amount? That's I think it's 50.
Oh, I mean, I think it might have been a little more than that.
All right, so he got fined in the wallet there a little bit. All good. And he says they have kind of moved on from this. The relationship is just fine.
Robert and I are great. We had great conversations throughout the offseason. Had a fun one last night in his office till later on. So, it is what it is. I'm an adult. I knew what I was getting into. I knew the fine that was coming and also knew how much I wanted to be in Egypt.
In Egypt. Speaking of which, how the heck was that trip anyway?
The last 2 days were pretty special. The second last day, we were at the pyramids and the Sphinx in a private, private viewing. And then we went out in the desert on camels.
You got Aaron Rodgers riding around the Egyptian desert on a camel.
Yeah, it's a big animal. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Not the nicest animal. I've been around llamas before. That's a big llama. And I was trying to make sure I stay out of the way of any spit that was coming out. But, that was fun. We got to watch the sun go down in the desert, watch the moon rise. And, it was a really special trip.
He's an interesting cat.
He's a different guy.
He really
no
is.
Doubt.
Yep. Really
there
is.
Are Jet fans everywhere upset that he had the audacity to ride on a camel.
Probably are.
But at the same, you get all that. And then I've got another clip, and it's just comparing it to what the Jets have had at quarterback, where they ask him about working with Garrett Wilson and Malachi Corley, and he goes right into like full football vernacular talking, you know, 3-by-1. When he does this, you got to do this. Like it's just, it's almost like he can't speak it fast enough the way he processes all of it.
Yeah.
So just the difference for those guys essentially being coached up by this future Hall of Famer versus the slop that they've had at quarterback for the last couple of years.
Zach Wilson scrolling through TikTok.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Night and day.
Let's coach him up on the field this year, though. How's that sound?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's get more than four plays in. All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I went back and watched yesterday afternoon, because Stu Gotts is in for Boomer again. I went back and watched yesterday afternoon because Boomer and I just did a YouTube golf video with the Barstool guys, Frankie and Trent. And we're supposed to play today. If your stomach is in good enough shape, we're supposed to play today.
Yep, so far so good.
There could be a chance, though, that you get a repeat of yesterday, and we'll have to postpone.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back to watch your round that you had with the Bob Does Sports guys and Fat Perez and that whole thing.
Yep.
Just to see where your game was at.
Yeah.
That was a while ago now, though, right? It was like a year ago, maybe?
It was about a year ago, down in Miami, yeah.
All right, so you've gotten better since then, or no?
No, I've gotten worse.
You've gotten worse, yeah. Okay. All right, very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something you said in there, because you were talking, you were in the cart, and you were with Bob.
Yeah.
And something you said in there was that you missed the pressure of live radio.
Yeah.
You used to feel pressure when you guys were live?
It's not so much the pressure as it is the urgency, the excitement. Because now, for the most part, we do 2 hours live every day on YouTube.
but that's live, right?
Yeah, no, it is live.
Yeah.
And then we tape a couple hours after that. And we deliver our episode every single day to, you know, largely a podcast audience, a digital audience. I miss the high wire act that live radio provides for me, especially the type of show that me and Dan do.
Yeah.
And doing it at ESPN, where we were toeing the line all the time. In terms of, like, for ESPN, we were toeing the line. There's stuff we were doing that we could do right here.
Sure.
And no one would say a word. I don't know if the audience would like it. In fact, I'm guessing they would not. But what I miss is that, you know, kind of being on the high wire without a net and toeing the line and hoping you don't say the wrong thing, saying the right thing and it being exactly the right thing, but you didn't go too far to get yourself in trouble. I just miss doing all that stuff live. I do. I got into this to do live radio.
Sure.
I didn't get into this to tape a couple of segments on Tuesday that we're going to air on Friday.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
But you don't get the same thing from the live YouTube aspect, because it's not, because there's no restrictions really with YouTube, whereas with ESPN you were kind of messing with people and making people feel uncomfortable.
It's just so unfamiliar to me. It's like, so it's funny, when we left ESPN and I called my dad and told him we're leaving ESPN, he got mad at me. He's like, who the hell leaves ESPN? Where are you going?
Yeah.
I said, you can catch us on YouTube. And he said, you guys left ESPN for YouTube? I said, well, not exactly that, but you can catch us there. He goes, do I get YouTube? I'm like, Dad, we all get YouTube.
Right, yeah.
What are you talking about? It just doesn't feel the same. I need to speak in microphones like this.
Yeah.
I need to have the ability to take phone calls.
Sure.
Which, by the way, we're going to do. I don't want you to give an opinion. I don't want you to set up any sort of topic. I came here. I have given you everything I've had on the program director stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to take calls.
You want to take calls?
We don't take calls, okay?
Yeah, well, Al and I, we've developed a strategy with the calls for the most part.
Yeah, I've noticed. Okay.
Unless you're someone really interesting, you're just not, we're not putting you on.
Right.
At all. And he could be a new caller who's on topic, and maybe we'll get you through there. But for the most part, it just drags everything down.
No, I understand that. Like, really, Levitard does. And I haven't taken calls in over a decade because Dan started getting mad at the callers and saying it's our job to provide the content, not theirs.
Well, yeah.
I understand that. But, you know, and I've been providing content ever since. But can I sit back and listen to Bob and Yonkers for a second?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So what would you like to take calls on?
The Yankees? I don't care what they call it about. I just want to take a phone call.
All right, well, there's a couple of options. The Yankees and Mets game you didn't watch or Hard Knocks that you didn't watch.
Listen, anything I didn't watch, feel free to call in and talk about it with me, okay? So to get back to what you were asking me,
yeah.
I just, there's something about doing live radio. It makes me feel alive. There is something about sticking the joke at the end of the segment and then you hear the bumper in your ear.
Yeah.
All right. This old school radio stuff that I'm at a rejoin.
Sure.
I just miss it all. I love what we do. I really do. It just feels a bit disjointed. This has a flow to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I understand. I mean,
like, you know, when I went to broadcasting school, and by broadcasting school, I didn't go to any broadcasting school. I didn't. I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just had the gift to be able to talk and fill time because that's all we're doing around
right,
here.
Right, basically,
okay?
Yes.
I mean, but I never said to myself, hey, the goal is to record a segment on Monday and maybe air it on Friday if no news breaks. Okay?
You know, I appreciate that about you because I figured just at this point in the career, your career, just be happy with making the money and enjoying the fact that you guys have built something and you're living comfortably and doing the things you want to do.
Right.
And but you still have a passion for the platform.
I do. I love the platform. When we were deciding what it is we should do as a show, I was very, very vocal about still wanting to be on the radio and doing it live on the radio. I lost that fight.
Yeah, well, clearly.
I lost that fight. And DraftKings won, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
I really am.
For sure.
Yes.
But it hasn't stopped you from trying to get over here to do the live radio.
You know, you're 100% right,
yeah.
and it's not going to stop me.
Right.
I told you I have one contract left. I'm going to disappear. With Eddie Scazzeri, all right,
up in the mountains.
Yeah,
you guys have a different type of lifestyle, though. Eddie wants to retire in Montana somewhere.
Yeah, I know,
and be cold,
right,
with multiple dogs.
It's going to have to probably be New England at best, though.
Yeah, well,
really,
okay. Yeah,
really,
just because of family and stuff.
Yes,
okay, that makes sense.
Well, her side, yeah.
So it won't be with Eddie. And, you know, I'll be off in California somewhere. I'll disappear. I'll play golf every single day.
Yeah.
But I do miss radio. I'm not going to lie to you. I got into this. It's weird, but you have to go with the flow. I got into this to do sports radio. But the entire industry has shifted and changed.
Yeah.
And it's a digital world now. And so our show had to adapt. We did. I'm happy about it. And you give me, you know, a couple of shows a year here in July with nothing to talk about. Which is what I prefer, by the way. And, you know, that kind of, it fulfills me until next year.
Scratch the itch, as they say.
Well, exactly right. One of your retirement homes might be in the New England area, right?
One of them, perhaps, yes. Yes.
Oh, you guys were talking about retirement yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We were, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
you know what Chuck Knoll used to say about that? The second you start thinking about retirement, you're already retired.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't give a crap.
We understand, Eddie. We understand you don't.
Listen, my home is your home, Eddie, okay? So, yes, I do have a place in New England. It's yours, okay?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I went back and watched yesterday afternoon, because Stu Gatz is in for Boomer again. I went back and watched yesterday afternoon because Boomer and I just did a YouTube golf video with the Barstool guys, Frankie and Trent. And we're supposed to play today. If your stomach is in good enough shape, we're supposed to play today.
Yep, so far so good.
There could be a chance, though, that you get a repeat of yesterday, and we'll have to postpone.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back to watch your round that you had with the Bob Does Sports guys and,
yes,
and Fat Perez and that whole thing.
Yep.
Just to see where your game was at.
Yeah.
That was a while ago now, though, right? It was like a year ago, maybe?
It was about a year ago, yeah, right, down in Miami, yeah.
All right, so you've gotten better since then, or no?
No, I've gotten worse.
You've gotten worse,
yeah.
Okay. All
yeah.
right, very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, something you said in there, because you were talking, you were in the cart, and you were with Bob.
Yeah.
And something you said in there was that you missed the pressure of live radio.
Yeah.
Do you used to feel pressure when you guys were live?
It's not so much the pressure as it is the urgency, the excitement. Because now, for the most part, we do 2 hours live every day on YouTube.
but that's live, right?
Yeah, no, it is live.
Yeah.
And then we tape a couple hours after that. And we deliver our episode every single day to, you know, largely a podcast audience, a digital audience. I miss the high wire act that live radio provides for me, especially the type of show that me and Dan do.
Yeah.
And doing it at ESPN, where
we were
toeing the line all the time. In terms of, like, for ESPN, we were toeing the line. There's stuff we were doing that we could do right here.
Sure.
And no one would say a word. I don't know if the audience would like it. In fact, I'm guessing they would not. But what I miss is that, you know, kind of being on the high wire without a net and toeing the line and hoping you don't say the wrong thing, saying the right thing and it being exactly the right thing, but you didn't go too far to get yourself in trouble. I just miss doing all that stuff live. I do. I got into this to do live radio.
Sure.
I didn't get into this to tape a couple of segments on Tuesday that we're going to air on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
But you don't get the same thing from the live YouTube aspect because it's not, because there's no restrictions really with YouTube, whereas with ESPN, you were kind of messing with people and
yes,
making people feel uncomfortable.
It's just so unfamiliar to me. It's like, so it's funny, when we left ESPN and I called my dad and told him we're leaving ESPN, he got mad at me. He's like, who the hell leaves ESPN? Where are you going?
Yeah.
I said, you can catch us on YouTube. And he said, you guys left ESPN for YouTube? I said, well, not exactly that, but you can catch us there. He goes, do I get YouTube?
Ha!
I'm like, Dad, we all get YouTube.
Right, yeah.
What are you talking about? It just doesn't feel the same. I need to speak in microphones like this.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to have the ability to take phone calls.
Sure.
Which, by the way, we're going to do. I don't want you to give an opinion. I don't want you to set up any sort of topic. I came here. I have given you everything I've had on the program director stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to take calls.
You want to take calls?
We don't take calls, okay?
Yeah, well, Al and I, we've developed a strategy with the calls for the most part.
Yeah, I've noticed. Okay.
Unless you're someone really interesting,
yeah,
you're just not, we're not putting you on.
Right.
At all.
And he could be a new caller who's on topic, and maybe we'll get you through there. But for the most part, it's just it just drags everything down.
No, I understand that. Like really Lebatard does. And I haven't taken calls in over a decade because Dan started getting mad at the callers and saying it's our job to provide the content, not theirs.
Well, yeah.
I understand that. But, you know, and I've been providing content ever since. But can I sit back and listen to Bob and Yonkers for a second?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So what would you like to take calls on?
The Yankees? I don't care what they call it about. I just want to take a phone call.
All right, well, there's a couple options. The Yankees and Mets game you didn't watch or Hard Knocks that you didn't watch.
Listen, anything I didn't watch, feel free to call in and talk about it with me, okay? So to get back to what you were asking me, I just, there's something about doing live radio. It makes me feel alive. There is something about sticking the joke at the end of the segment, and then you hear the bumper in your ear.
Yeah.
All this old school radio stuff that I meant a rejoin.
Sure.
I just miss it all. It feels, I love what we do. I really do. It just feels a bit disjointed. This has a flow to it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. I understand. I mean,
like, you know, when I went to broadcasting school, and by broadcasting school, I didn't go to any broadcasting school. I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just had the gift to be able to talk and fill time because that's all we're doing around
here. Right, basically,
okay?
Yes.
I mean, but I never said to myself, hey, the goal is to record a segment on Monday and maybe air it on Friday if no news breaks. Okay.
You know, I appreciate that about you because I figured just at this point in the career, your career, just be happy with making the money and enjoying the fact that you guys have built something and you're living comfortably and doing the things you want to do.
Right.
And but you still have a passion for the platform.
I do. I love the platform. When we were deciding what it is we should do as a show, I was very, very vocal about still wanting to be on the radio and doing it live on the radio. I lost that fight.
Yeah, well, clearly.
I lost that fight. At DraftKings won, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
I really am.
For sure.
Yes.
But it hasn't stopped you from trying to get over here to do the live radio.
You know, you're 100% right, and it's not going to stop me. I told you I have one contract left. I'm going to disappear. With Eddie Scazzeri, all right,
up in the mountains.
Yeah,
you guys have a different type of lifestyle, though. Eddie wants to retire in Montana somewhere.
Yeah, I know,
and be cold,
right,
with multiple dogs.
It's going to have to probably be New England at best, though.
Yeah, well,
really,
okay. Yeah,
really,
just because of family and stuff.
Yes,
okay, that makes sense.
Well, her side, yeah.
So it won't be with Eddie. And, you know, I'll be off in California somewhere. I'll disappear. I'll play golf every single day.
Yeah.
But I do miss radio. I'm not going to lie to you. I got into this. It's weird, but you have to go with the flow. I got into this to do sports radio. But the entire industry has shifted and changed.
Yeah.
And it's a digital world now. And so our show had to adapt. We did. I'm happy about it. And you give me, you know, a couple of shows a year here in July with nothing to talk about. Which is what I prefer, by the way. And, you know, that kind of, it fulfills me until next year.
Scratch the itch, as they say.
Well, one of your retirement homes might be in the New England area, right?
One of them, perhaps, yes. Yes.
Oh, you guys were talking about retirement yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We were, yeah. Well,
you know what Chuck Knoll used to say about that? The second you start thinking about retirement, you're already retired.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't give a crap.
We understand, Eddie. We understand you don't.
Listen, my home is your home, Eddie, okay? So, yes, I do have a place in New England. It's yours, okay?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.